I have a client who experienced sexual abuse in their early teens via a friend of their mother. They told the mother at the time, but were not believed. Now, an adult, my client feels they've processed the abuse, but struggles to let go of their mother being unable to acknowledge what happened. My client's attempted on several occasions as an adult to address this, but the mother diminishes my client's experience and won't discuss it. Ideas, please. Thank you.
Okay. This can be quite a common pattern. We sometimes see in our clients in which an emotional loop remains unfulfilled. Often the primary emotion becomes anger, alternating with perhaps feelings of hopelessness or despondency, because you're not getting what you need or what you needed. Certainly that's how it feels. Someone needed or needs something from someone else who doesn't or didn't give it to them, and yet they still crave it. So you're in this double bind, catch 22, where you want something from someone, but they're not prepared to give it to you, or they can't give it to you because it's not within their capacity to give it to you. Okay, and often it might be a parent or partner who hasn't given us what they should have given us in terms of love or support or recognition, and not surprisingly, then we can feel resentful. Or angry, or depressed, because of that, we expect it, and we're not getting it, and so there's a feeling of unresolvedness, a sense that what was rightfully mine hasn't been given to me, hence the anger, and other sort of feelings often coupled with these sorts of situations, and also a feeling of betrayal as well, of course, having felt that the very person who should have been there to protect you, or at least believe you, or at least countenance your point of view, didn't do any of those things, and so we can quite clearly see why this is an issue for people. And there's two ways of solving it. Either we get the person to somehow see that they should have, they should acknowledge this, and so forth, but that's not always very easy. And certainly writing to the person and so forth, hoping that they'll read what you've written and so forth, is something that quite often people try to do. But it's not always the way to go, is it? For example, we might make someone apologize, but we can't make them mean the apology. It's like when you say to a kid, apologize. Now say it again with meaning. I want you to mean the apology. Don't just say it in a sarcastic way, because you can say sorry in 60 different ways. And of course, the world doesn't always bend to our will. I'd ask this client, what would actually make it right for her? What would her mother have to do in order to make it right, does she think? What's someone's expectations of this? What would her mother have to hypothetically say or do to make it right for her? Okay, and in detail, what would it have to look like? Would it really make a difference? It might do. And how would she finally know her mother had acknowledged what had happened to her and wasn't just paying lip service? For example, how would she know it was genuine and so forth? Presumably, her mother knows what happened to her, your client, or at least knows what your client says happened to her, if she doesn't believe her. So at least she has some sort of cognition about this. But you could also ask your client what she would need to feel better without her mother formally acknowledging what happened by then. Let's put that off the table for the time being. You can't, you can go up to anyone in the street and ask for $1 million, but if it's beyond their capacity to give it to you, you ain't going to get it. Okay. So, if this doesn't happen, in what ways in life can you feel better? Okay. Not everything needs to be contingent on this one thing. So often we feel that only X or Y or Z or Z, if you're in America, would make us feel better. So we narrow things down, and not surprisingly in this case, but it can be useful to think about, okay, if I don't get what I've designated as essential for me, what would help me be fulfilled despite not getting that? Okay. And to really think about that. Okay. Is it possible for us to compartmentalize hurts in our life, okay, and still have a good life? Okay, and that's over here, that's a way there. But I've still got all of this that I can focus on. And that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make what the person did to her, of course, and the mother's reaction to that right either. But sometimes we can't bend everything to our will, of course. And I wouldn't necessarily put it in those terms to her, but you know, maybe the mother is amenable to improving the relationship with her daughter, and maybe the mother would even come and see you as a client alongside the daughter. I don't know. It doesn't sound very likely. But ultimately, it might be that the mother is unbendable in this way, in which case your client will need to move on from trying to get something from someone who just doesn't have it to give. And, you know, certainly using metaphor can be useful. I remember watching a movie called Smoke with Harvey Keitel and William Hurt back in the 90s. And one of the characters, William Hurt's, I might be telling this completely wrong because it's a long time since I saw it. William Hurt is a writer, and his life is saved by this young 17-year-old guy, and who's kind of on the streets, and they become friends, and William Hurt sort of looks after him. And this young guy is very hurt by the fact that his father, played by Forrest Whitaker, God, it's all coming back to me, has kind of estranged from him and doesn't have anything to do with him. Okay, and he goes to try and see him, and it all goes wrong, and it's terrible, and he's very depressed about this. And then at one point in the film, William Hurt does a wonderful piece of therapy, which I thought was a great piece of filmmaking, and he says, oh, you know, I was reading an account in the paper about this explorer, this young man with a young family, young son and wife at home. And he goes off exploring in the Arctic somewhere, and he gets lost and he never returns. And, you know, it's a mystery to everybody what happened to him. He's never seen again. And his son grows up, you know, and his son becomes an explorer in turn. And he goes out onto the tundra, the icy wastes, and they're sitting down, you know, sort of having a rest at some point, and the wind blows and uncovers these bodies, and they're perfectly preserved, these frozen bodies from a very long ago expedition that are still there. And he suddenly recognizes his own father from photos. He realizes it's his own father, and it's a very weird thing for him to suddenly see that he now is much older than his own father. And William Hurt sort of looks at this young boy, and nothing more is said. It's a very subtle piece of filmmaking. And then, but after that point, the young boy seems to sort of blossom a little bit more. And, you know, the metaphor has taken root, even if he wasn't consciously aware of it, that he now is more of a man, more of an adult than his own father. So, you know, certainly using metaphor with cases like this can be useful as well.